إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاه بعد. My dear brothers and sisters, we mentioned yesterday about the issue of spiritual health and what kind of goals we need to have. The fact that we need to have a goal for our spiritual well-being, just like we have goals for our financial well-being, goals for our physical well-being, we have career goals and so on. Similarly, we need to have goals for our physical well-being, even more so. I'm saying similarly, only similarity is with regard to goals. Similarity is not with regard to the significance of those goals. The significance of spiritual goals is far higher, because the spirit is going to live after the body is dead. And the spirit is going to be, has been with us before we were in the body, and the spirit will continue after the body is gone. So therefore, obviously, we can't equate the importance of the spirit with the body. But when I said just like, I'm referring to the fact that these are also goals. Today, let us see what the next step is. So once we, firstly, we need to set the goals. What goals will you set? Second step is to do what we call a gap analysis or a delta analysis, which is to look at the goal and then look at where we are now. What is the gap? Is there a gap? Are you at the goal? Or if you are not at the goal, how far away from the goal are you? That's called gap analysis. We do this in business and finance. I'm using the same tool. What is the gap analysis? Now, for gap analysis, obviously two things are important. One is to know what the goal is, and secondly, to know where you are in terms of your own spiritual development. Where do you think you are? These are things to be done quite objectively, like you do any other analysis. It's not sufficient. Now, many people take this view. The moment you say things like this, they will say, oh, main to bilkul barbaad ho gaya, mere paas to kuch nahi hai. This is nonsense. Anyone who really thinks that will change his life. That's a hypocritical statement. If anybody is saying that, he is lying to himself. As simple as that. Because if you are, if I talked about financial goals, and I say that you are 35 years old, by now your net worth should have been so much. What is your current net worth? You will not say, oh, main to barbaad ho gaya, mera kuch nahi. You will work your, you know, whatever, off to get to that place, right? You will say, well, okay, I'm here, there's a huge gap. What do I need to do? What kind of plan should I make? How much should I work? Which area, what focus, all of this. But the moment you come to spiritual things, we think that simply making these grand statements is enough. It is not enough. Please understand this. Allah also knows, so don't be hypocritical, don't lie to yourself. We have to actually take action. So what is this gap analysis? We have to look at ourselves and say, in terms of my spiritual goals, what is my spiritual goal? Just to give you one example of what might be a spiritual goal. One of the spiritual goals you might say is khushu in salah, that I must have complete and total concentration and dedication in salah. My attention must not wander anywhere when I am standing before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. My attention must be only and only on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. And if my attention is wandering somewhere, it means there is a problem. So that is the goal. Where are you now? That only you know. For myself, I know. You don't know about me, I don't know about you. So this is something we have to see. Similarly, another way of setting the spiritual goal is to say, to look at what are some spiritual sicknesses. One major spiritual sickness is to give precedence to worldly things, to give precedence to our desires, to give precedence to our so-called priorities and so on, over the orders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, look at yourself and say, am I doing this? Is there a time? And then do it, don't do a general, do it in the last 24 hours, right? In the last 48 hours, don't even go beyond that. In the last 24 hours, was there a time when I gave precedence to what I wanted over the order of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Obviously, the simplest one of that is time for salah, adhan, so on, so on. Was there a time when the adhan was called and instead of going to the masjid, you did something else? Very easy to see. There's no great mystery. Right? We can monitor ourselves. We should monitor ourselves. This is what. Another one, for example, spiritual sickness is greed. Another one is jealousy. Right? So in the last 24 hours, 48 hours, did you think of or did you look at some other person and feel jealous about what they have? Now, jealousy is, see, wanting to have what somebody else has is not jealousy. For example, you might look at somebody and say, you know, mashallah, this person is doing so much of great charity work, I wish I could also do it. This is not jealousy. Similarly, if you say, this person has built a nice house for himself, alhamdulillah, I know his income is halal, I wish I also have halal income so I can also build a nice house for myself. That's not jealousy. All right? Jealousy is to look at somebody and want evil for that person. That is jealousy. Now, you have this person has this house and you're not saying it in so many words, but in your heart is that, or let me put it another way. If you suddenly hear that there was a robbery in somebody's house and all their jewelry was lost, right? It is a very common thing. When I go to South Africa, may Allah protect them, every time I go, there is a story, right? So, if you hear that so-and-so had a robbery in their house and they lost all their jewelry, ask your heart, inside your heart, what is it you're truly feeling in your heart at the time. With your tongue, of course, you will say, oh, you know, this great tragedy happened, I'm so sorry for this person. But in your heart, you're saying, good. Good thing it happened. He deserved it. This is what you're saying. Don't lie to yourself. This is what is in your heart. And that is hypocrisy, that is jealousy, this is haram. And if that is what you were thinking, you will answer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, simple as that. Right? Say, these kinds of things happen with many of us when we look at somebody else who has more than what we have, and if something happens to them, then we feel this. And the same thing happens when you look at them, you want something bad to happen to them. That is jealousy. Jealousy is to want someone, to want harm for somebody else. As I said, you may not say it in so many words, alhamdulillah, you should not say it also. But even to have that in the heart is a sign of one of the major sicknesses of the spirit. And the reason you have that is because you are hankering behind this thing. You want it so badly. Otherwise, what is the matter to you? Right? Today, in our urban living, if you see somebody who has 100 buffaloes, will you say, oh, I wish I had 100 buffaloes? You don't care about buffaloes, who cares? But if you are living in a village, maybe that would, you know, attract you, right? But in the city, what will you do with them? If someone gives you 100 buffaloes, it will be a major problem for you what to do with them. So, what you really don't want, you don't care about. But what you really want, so that is jealousy and greed, of course. I don't think I have to describe greed, right? Sophia, we know what greed is. Similarly, other things. I'm not going into a long list of these things, but these are sickness of the spirit. Another very, very, very insidious sickness of the spirit, which may Allah protect us, all of us are victims of, is laziness. Kasal, laziness. To get up and make wudu, to get up and pray two rakat of tahajjud, to sit and do dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whatever, to read a good book, right? I mean, I'm not relating everything to religion, to read a good book. If you ask most people, what was the, tell me in the last 3 months, which book did you read? Nothing. Many people ask me, isn't it important, just yesterday somebody said, should we not have a think tank in Hyderabad? I said, sure, very good idea. Give me the names. Who should be in the, we're not talking about fish tank. We're talking about a think tank. Give me the names. Who should be in this think tank? People just like to talk. So, the point is that the issue is, if you are not going to read anything, you will not have any knowledge. Then therefore, your opinion is worthless. Why must I listen to you? For what? Subjective opinions are useless. You need an opinion which is based on some knowledge, on some competence. So, very, very important. These are all spiritual sicknesses. Laziness is a spiritual sickness. Jealousy is a spiritual sickness. Greed is a spiritual sickness. And similarly, others. So doing this gap analysis is very important. What are my spiritual goals? Where am I today? And then when you look at these spiritual sicknesses, then you go to the next step, which is to say, how do I cure this? What is the cure of jealousy? What is the cure of greed? What is the cure of laziness? Each one has a cure, like anything else. But those cures have to be applied. Knowing about the cure is not enough. Knowing the name of a medicine will not cure your problem. If you have a headache, and I tell you the name of this absolutely phenomenal headache medicine, which will, your headache will vanish in 2 seconds. And you sit there and memorize the name, and then you take a tasbih and you repeat this name 100 times. You think the headache will go? It'll get worse. You have to eat the medicine. It's not going to help if you repeat the name of the medicine or memorize the name of the medicine. You have to actually take the medicine. Now, that is the same thing applies. As far as spiritual sicknesses are concerned, the cure can be prescribed, the cure can be told to you, but you have to apply the cure to yourself. Somebody asked Hasan al-Basri rahmatullahi alayhi, he said, how is it that you have such tranquility in your life, so much peace and so much harmony in your life? How is this possible that you have so much of harmony in your life? Hasan al-Basri rahmatullahi alayhi said 4 things. He said, number one, I know that my rizq has been written by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and nobody can eat what has been written for me. Does he mean he was a lazy man, it didn't work? No. He didn't worry about it. As somebody said, worry is a waste of imagination. Right? So he didn't worry about it. He didn't sit there constantly thinking what will happen, what will happen. No. What I have to do, I will do. And I will do it to the best of my ability. I will go to work properly. I will do my work properly. But I'm not going to waste my time thinking about, all kinds of disaster scenarios. That's nonsense. So he said, number one, I know that what Allah has written for me, I will get. That does not go anywhere. What Allah has written for me, no one else can eat. Number one. Number two, he said, rahmatullahi alayhi, that what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prescribed for me, my duties, for which He created me, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. He said, these duties nobody else can do for me. So I have to focus on them and I have to do them. Salatul Fajr is prescribed individually on each of us. Right? I can't tell Ismail, please go and pray my Fajr for me. No, Ismail will pray his own Fajr. He can't pray my Fajr, even if he wants to. He might want to do that, but it's not possible. I mean, my Fajr, I have to pray. I can't send my friend or my son or my whoever. It's not doable. Right? Similarly, whatever faraid, I can't say, zakat is due on me, but why don't you pay my zakat for me? No, sorry. Doesn't work like that. It has to come out of my own wealth. If it is due on me, I have to do it. Hajj is due on me. Why don't you go do my hajj for me? No way. Doesn't work. Your hajj you have to do. So Imam Hasan al-Basri said, rahmatullahi, that what Allah has written for me, nobody can take. What Allah has prescribed for me to do, no one else can do. So I focus on that. I must complete what Allah has has prescribed for me. Number three, he said that I know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who was Sami'ul Basir, that He is seeing and He is watching. He is watching and He is hearing. Yeah? Sami'ul Basir, He is hearing and He is seeing. Therefore, I am ashamed to do anything which displeases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah is watching me as I speak now, as I am sitting here. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is looking at me real time. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is hearing what I am saying real time. So how can I do anything which displeases Allah? How can I curse? How can I cheat? How can I do ghibah? How can I do anything wrong? Whatever Allah has made haram, whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala dislikes, how can I do it when I have this awareness that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is looking at me and listening to me as I am talking right now, real time. Third thing. Fourth thing, he said that I know that one day I will meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so therefore I prepare for that day. One day I am going to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, therefore I prepare for that day. Today is the 1st October. 1st of October. On the 23rd of October, I have been invited to speak at the police headquarters in Bhopal. For it's called the Director General's lecture, and that is for all the police top brass in Madhya Pradesh. So all IGs upwards, and Allah knows, maybe even DIGs upwards. 23rd of October. I don't even know whether I'll be alive until 23rd of October. What do you think I'm doing now? That lecture is in my mind, it's going on in my mind, what am I going to say, I'm preparing for the lecture and so on and so on. Because I know that if I am alive, then on the 23rd, I'm going to be standing before the entire police force, and that is the top brass of Madhya Pradesh Police Force, Director General Special Lectures, so the DG will be there, all that, and I'm going to be speaking. Right? I know this day, if I live, then I will see this day, and I am thinking about it and preparing for it from now. Why? Supposing that lecture I do and make dua that it should go well, inshallah. But I'm saying, supposing I do that lecture and they say this is the lousiest lecture we ever heard in my life, do you think they will put me before a firing squad and shoot me? No. I don't even work for the police. They can't even fire me. I mean, in the sense of, you know, they can't sack me. What will happen? And we know India. People are polite. Nobody will say it to my face. Nobody will say, what a wahiyat lecture ka aapne diya hai, bakwas. Nahi, woh koi bolega kuch nahi. Peeche bahut bolenge. Samne koi nahi bolega. They are polite people. They will all be polite people. They will give me tea, what not what. Why am I doing that? Why am I preparing? Because I, it's my need that I must not look like a fool before people. It is my need that I must say something which is valuable. Because when I go from there, they will know here was a Muslim. He came and talked to us. Not for me. They will say, here was a Muslim who came and spoke to us. And I don't want them to have a negative impact of that, to say, here was a Muslim and he came and talked nonsense. No. They must remember it positively. They must remember it in a good way, to say, here was somebody who came and gave us something valuable and useful. I'm preparing it for... Now, I'm saying this is for a worldly thing, and these are all honorary things. I mean, it's not. I don't even get a single cent out of this. Nothing. There's no money involved, there's no job involved, there's no nothing involved. Still, I prepare for it because it is important to me. Question I ask myself is, how important is the meeting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to me? How important is that meeting? About this lecture, if I was not preparing for it, and you knew that, if you could see all of that, you would say, yaar bhai, kya hai aap aisa, bilkul hi cheez hi le rahe na. जाना है ना हमें अब बहुत वक्त करा नहीं करे भी तो थोड़ा तो आप सोचो जरा आई मीन मे बी यू डिड इट सो मेनी टाइम्स बट यू नो यू विल एडवाइज मी यू विल से दिस इज नॉट करेक्ट आई मीन यू आर गोइंग टू दिस बिग थिंग एंड सो ऑन यू आर डूइंग नथिंग व्हाट अबाउट द मीटिंग विद अल्लाह सुब्हानहू व तआला साइन ऑफ स्पिरिचुअल सिकनेस बिकॉज द ओनली आंसर टू दैट क्वेश्चन इज आई डू नॉट रियली थिंक आई विल गो टू भोपाल ऑन 23rd. In my mind, I know that this meeting is not going to happen. So why should I bother? There's no other way. I mean, if I know it is going to happen, so this meeting with Allah, is it going to happen or no? Seriously, you have to go, that's why I always tell you, go stand in front of a mirror, talk to yourself. Stand in front of a mirror and ask yourself, am I going to meet Allah or not? You settle that one thing, everything else will get settled. Our tragedy is that one thing itself is not settled. How long do we want to do that? This meeting, I know it is on the 23rd, it's not 22nd, it's not tomorrow. But the meeting with Allah, maybe now. There's no date specified for that. This is what Hasan Basri Rahmatullah said. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increase his darajat and fill his qabr with noor. And imagine, this is the beauty of the people with ikhlas. People with ikhlas. Hasan al-Basri, one of the tabi'in, they say he is the best of the tabi'in. Wallah alamat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives the darajat, but he's known as the Rais, as the sadr of the tabi'in. He was a student of Ali bin Abi Talib radiallahu anhu. Which century are you talking about? You talk about the 7th century. For 1400 years, Hasan al-Basri is teachings are being taught. by people who did not know who Hasan al-Basri is. If I meet Hasan Basri in the street, will I recognize him? No. But what he said continues. This is the beauty of, this is one of the signs of, inshallah, acceptance with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That Allah causes, وَرَفَعْنَا لَكَ ذِكْرَكَ, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we will raise your dhikr. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala applies this to all those who did his work. That long after, centuries after they are gone, people will still be saying what they said, they will be teaching each other, and they will continue to benefit. And all of this benefit will go to the ruh of the person who initiated that. So these things of Hasan Basri rahmatullahi alayh, I am sitting here 1400 years later, I have nothing in common with Hasan Basri rahmatullahi, except that I love him for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and I love his teachings. This, what I am teaching, goes to Hasan al-Basri rahmatullahi alayh. Bismillahi ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rewards him, and may Allah reward him with the best of the best, inshallah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to understand the trap that we are in, and to give us the ability to get out of this trap. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us to do that which is pleasing to him, and to save us from that which does not please him. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajmain bi rahmatika ya rahman ar-rahim.